So you want to be joyful. I want to be joyful no matter what. But man, life can be stressful, right? We got work and relationships and kids and friends getting upset with us and, you know, people are bombing places. How can we experience joy when there's so much bad stuff going on? You are in for a treat. Today, we have got a doctor on how to effectively handle stress and live in our normal, natural state of joy. Let's rock. Welcome to the Good Mood Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Matt O'Neill. And in a world filled with challenge and adversity, choosing to feel good is truly a revolutionary act. That's why we're here. If you're ready, let the good moods begin now. So I just left a conference meeting with 50 of the most amazing human beings that I've ever met. They all came to Charleston with a group called GoBundance. And I was asked to speak on a panel in front of the room about how to have authentic relationships. One of the questions that came to me was, man, the world can be so stressful. How do you prioritize relationships when your life is really stressful? And I thought for a long while about that question before I answered. And then I looked at the group and I said, my world is ridiculously stressful right now. I've got two different companies. They're both losing money at the same time. And I've got four children and they're all under the age of 10 and they require a lot of effort. And at the same time, I've got other responsibilities with the Good Mood Revolution podcast. And I'm publishing my first book this year. And we're creating a journal. And my world is so stressful sometimes. But my advice was this. Every morning, the first thing I write down in my journal is to set an intention to enjoy this day. Because all I have is this day. If I choose to, I can see the heaven that exists today. My four beautiful children, my loving wife, Katie, the fact that I'm alive and my heart is beating, the fact that I have two legs and can walk. So every single day, my answer to this group was I write down an intention before I start anything else. And I say, my choice is to choose joy today and to trust that my future is blessed, that all of these so-called problems that I could stress about are going to get figured out. And that's a faith in God that I have. And so that's how I want to start this episode on stress. We have one of the world's foremost experts on how to overcome stress. She's a New York Times bestselling author, Dr. Laurel Mellon. Thank you for coming on the show today and welcome.
What a pleasure, Matt. And everything you're talking about is exactly what I've been doing my whole life and also based on neuroscience, correct. So more power to you.
Well, today we're going to be, you know, you've written so many fantastic books. I was really, really impressed with your book about joy. And I know you've got a new book right now, 1-2-3 Joy. But I've been a big fan of yours for a long time. Wired for Joy is a book that's been in my saved account on Amazon is like one of my two reads. So I know everyone at the Good Mood Revolution podcast has a treat right now to hear from you. But I know in some of your books, you talk about how we can get stuck in a brain state. What do you mean by this?
You know, it's really quite interesting, Matt. You know, when I started at the University of California, San Francisco as a young woman, now I'm 74, I was 28 at the time. I really didn't understand that emotions were basically biological entities. That essentially, if we can't use our emotions to process whatever is going on in our body, you know, our biochemistry, all the stress that's in there, we're going to be sick and disconnected and not enjoy. And that actually joy, based on neuroscience, Antonio Damasio, this wonderful neuroscientist, is redefined what the goal of essentially physiology is, which is joy. When you're in joy, you are at a brain state of we call brain state one. Everything is wonderful. All the memories from happy times are there. It is easy to know how you feel because you're feeling love and gratitude and hope, forgiveness, awe, and joy, and life is wonderful. but we are not just spiritual beings. We know that the emotional brain that processes emotions is not only the seat of all of survival, but also the seat of the soul. So when we take care of our emotions, we're taking care of our body, and we're also taking care of our spirit. And being become very comfortable with our emotions and effective is the way to go. Because if you're at brain state one, you're naturally spiritual. You're connected to your body. You're aware of the sensations and emotions. You're of higher order purpose. But because we humans are also have this body that's from hunter-gatherer times, it processes stress in really, really unfortunate ways. So we have to outsmart our own brain in how we use emotions. So there's five different levels of stress. When you're at brain state one, at the top of your brain, the neocortex is in charge and everything's great. When you're at two, it slips a little to the, like the middle of your forehead there. And that in that area, the brain's in charge and you're okay, but you don't feel inspired. And both of those two brain states are what's called, I hate to get too biological, but, you know, grounding what you're talking about in science, I think is very important for the listeners. Yeah. And so these are called homeostasis. And in one and two, when you're in brain states, what your number is 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. And when you're at 1 or 2, you're hunky-dory. You know, you can feel your feelings. And if you just stay connected to your beautiful body where you feel your feelings, process them out, it's very easy to get back to that glow state of one where you're at your best. Very easy.
What I remember about the word homeostasis is that it meant everything is in balance.
Yeah, absolutely. So when everything connected.
Everything's connected. And that's how I want to feel too. And I also, when I am feeling joyful, that is the time I'm able to get inspiration. That's the time I'm able to hear, you know, my opinion is that God is speaking to us at all times. That's the time I'm able to hear what he's saying and make connections about what I'm supposed to do next. But right. I agree with you too. I'm not perfect at this. And sometimes something happens and I get like really upset about it. I'll get super angry at somebody and really judgmental. And sometimes if my misperception of reality is too strong, like I'll fall completely off the cliff of joy. And then I won't even want to go to work that day. I won't even want to play with my kids. Like I'm just so upset or sad or just frustrated about the situation. So I'm assuming that that's when I fall out of homeostasis and into one of these other three.
Fall out of homeostasis. Absolutely. And that's also why many faith-based organizations are embracing emotional brain training. Even the, I won't mention the church, is one in a very large church is embracing it in such a way where they're, instead of having just 12-step programs in their church, they're having EBT circles in their church because If your belief is in the spiritual and you have a body that goes into essentially a stress response, which is cortisol happening, what happens is you separate from your brain separates, your thinking brain and your emotional brain separate, and you can't connect with the deepest part of yourself, your spiritual core. And so instead of analyzing or blaming yourself or just staying stuck there, I mean, there's the four kids running around, right? Is you just figure out what your number is, and I'll tell you about that in a second. Use the tool, emotional tool, for that number, and within 1 to 2, sometimes 3 minutes, you're back to a spiritual connection.
Well, if we can get back within 3 minutes to being in homeostasis and joy, we all need to do it. So just to decode for the person listening, EBT stands for emotional brain training. And Dr. Laurel has got 5 simple trainings that will help you get out of whatever emotional state is bothering you so you can get back into joy and homeostasis. So how do we recognize what our number is? How do we recognize 1, 2, 3, or 5, 4, or 5?
Well, it gets pretty toxic right now, let me tell you. So we think we're at 1 or 2 most of the time and we know what's going on, and that's homeostasis. And it's a kind of circuit in the brain that is very forgiving. You almost think of it as a God circuit because it holds you in that state. And if you just stay connected to the deepest part of yourself, you will come back to that beautiful state of connection. It's guaranteed. It's how the brain works. However, when we slip off the cliff because we have health problems, or we're worried about our children, or that we're just overloaded, or we're looking at what's going on in the world today and it gets inside of us, we go to brain state three. Now, brain state three is a different kind of wire. And what happens in brain state three is the feelings are scattered. You don't have just one feeling. You have a bunch of different, oh, I'm happy. No, I'm sad. Then you're kind of anxious and you start to overthink. Though that's the first of the levels where you are in what's called allostasis, which means stress overload, which means it all hits the fan. That what happens now, your body, your brain thinks that you're going to die and it is going to do whatever it takes, eat, drink, spend, judge, whatever, to feel better. And the chemicals are just flowing and they're driving you to do things that you would never do. You would never judge someone. But when you're at the chemicals at 3, 4, 5, you're going to. So at 3, you feel a little stressed and their feelings are scattered. At 4, which is down there near the reptilian brain, you feel stuck. I mean, you don't feel good in your body. That's one of the best states because it's easy to spiral up to joy from that. And also when you are in stress, when you're in 4, that's the only time you can rewire those circuits that have been encoded from the past. If you stay happy, 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 happy all the time and don't process your negative emotions, you'll try to stay above those circuits that are rattling around from childhood and just from things that you've never really worked through. And so you'll be chronically stressed and you will have mental health problems or physical health problems from the chronic stress. So
I experienced this myself. So I want to back up one to this state of 3 where the up and downs, the manic depressive, you know, this was my experience with my dad growing up. One minute he would be so happy and he, you know, everything was good. The next minute he was furious about everything and his emotions were always up and down and we never knew who we could expect. And it was really stressful for us being around him because anytime he was super happy, we didn't trust it because we knew it wouldn't last. And then he would flip and you would just say the wrong word. And then all of a sudden, this onslaught of abuse and darkness would come out of him. And I just wonder if it was because he was in a chronic state of stress from the trauma he experienced as a child that he never dealt with. And then as I move into 4, you know, and I tried this in my 20s. I tried to just stay above all my trauma and put on a happy face. And it was kind of a fake happy face, but I'd pretend to be happy and pretend everything was going great. And at the same time, I was having terrible back pain, like ridiculous back pain, and to the point I would see chiropractors and acupuncturists and, you know, I would get massages and I had special pillows and I had ice packs and I had heating packs and like everything was about trying to get my back to feel better. And then my knee would hurt, my shoulder would hurt, my elbow would hurt, my neck would hurt. And all this pain was all over. And I got introduced to the work of Dr. John Sarno, and he wrote a book called Healing Back Pain. And he said, your back pain, he said at least 90% of all back pain in the United States, you know, these were his patients, were United States patients, he said is suppressed anger. So he said, this is anger that you have not dealt with. And just diving deep into Dr. Sarno's work, he said, the best thing you could do is experience the anger and process this anger. So when I did all of the work on processing my unhealed anger, probably from years of abuse as a child, and then from things I just didn't understand how to process anger, I also thought we weren't supposed to be angry because good kids don't get angry at their parents, right? So I just would push it away. But after processing that anger, lo and behold, my back was fine. All the pillows went away, the heat pads went away, the ice packs went away. I haven't seen a chiropractor in 10 years.
Yeah. So what you're saying is why I, you know, like I say, if we could take EBT, this app, emotional brain training, and give it to everyone in the United States, we would cut down the mental health and physical health problems by at least 80%. And the reason that what Dr. Sarno does is so wonderful, because he's in alignment with emotional brain training. The difference is EBT gives you the process that's reliable that you can use over and over again to not get stuck in the anger. One of the things we know from Freud's work is that, in fact, anger or catharsis therapy can be very counterproductive. Because what can happen is you can get stuck in the hostility. You can get stuck in those emotions. What EBT says is let's just use these beautiful resiliency pathways in the brain. And when you're at four, you break, you express anger and then break that anger into sadness, fear, and guilt. In 1 to 3 minutes, you're back to joy. So if you can do it, if you want to, the reason people don't process their anger is it feels dangerous. And what surprised me in developing EBT over all these years is that a little bit of anger, we call it the anger procedure. And you say, I feel angry that. And then you say, I can't stand at that. And they say, I hate at that. And you say, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it, I really, really hate it. Right then, you've gone from brain state 3 that feels pretty safe down to 4. You've touched on 5, and the circuits that are bothering you and what was causing your back pain were circuits that were encoded at brain state 5. So your father was at brain state 5 a lot. In fact, set point 5, that was his habit. The difference at set point 5, because everyone has a brain state that's always changing, and then the brain gets the habit, oh, I get it, you're always at 5, so I'll just hang out at 5, and I'll prefer being at 5. So the overall goal of emotional brain training is over a 1-year period to raise everyone's set point or habit of their brain to joy.
I want to get everyone to joy. Myself, everyone I care about, the person listening to this podcast, let's do it. So if we're not experiencing joy and we want to do some emotional brain training, What's a simple exercise? What's the first step? I think the first step probably is awareness, is to recognize, I'm not feeling joyful today.
Well, the first thing is to do just what you're doing with intention. But the intention that is more global is that we need to realize that we are inherently good and strong and wise, that our brain is set up for us to be in joy. Once you clear the stress, we all spiral up to joy. So our nature is joy. And that stress blocks our joy. It separates us from our joy. And all we have to do is process our emotions, no matter what the situation is. It doesn't matter. Just process the emotions, get back to one. So you start your day and you say, hey, what am I doing with my day? You say, I am creating joy in my life. These are very important words. I, as if I matter, am creating. I have the power to create joy. I don't have to wait for it to happen to me. And then I'm not going to settle for some mediocre mood. I want to get to that sweet spot of connection where I'm radiating out all that love to other people. That's what I'm doing with my life. Make the commitment.
But I don't want to be that, I can already hear the naysayer. I don't want to be fake. I don't want people to look at me and like just think I'm fake and not like real.
Okay. So let me define joy. Have you ever had a glass of water mixed with sugar?
Yes.
That's called happiness. This is not positive psychology. EBT is neurophysiology. It's not positive psychology. It's not about being happy. Okay. Add a squeeze of lemon. What happens to that glass of water with sugar?
Turns into lemonade.
And it's delicious.
It's amazing.
Okay, so let me tell you what joy is neuroscientifically, not psychologically. What it is a brain state of what's called neural integration, where the thinking brain and the emotional brain are connected, the right and left hemisphere is connected, and the brain and the body are connected. In that state, physiologically, we're at our best, and we are aware of life's essential pains. And we're aware of our higher order reward. We don't dodge reality. We have learned to accept it. Like, I'm not perfect. Like, everyone's going to die. Like, essentially, I essentially am alone. The first reward that we have to, the first thing we have to accept in life is that I am alone. No one can save me from this moment. I have to take responsibility for how I live my life. And only then, when I really connect first and foremost to the love inside of me, to the God within me, and accept that and live an inner life, can I have the love I need to give to others. So that I am alone, but I have me. I'm not perfect, but I don't have to be. I can be authentic. That I'm not in complete control, and so I can be vibrant. that life takes work, a lot of work, a lot of work. And then you get integrity, that in intimacy,
life
you can have
takes
intimacy.
So much work. Life takes so much work. I know. And it's like, sometimes I work. And I'm like, oh, maybe it'll just get easy. And it never does. It's always a tremendous amount of work.
Maybe the tools that your listeners want is the something that we use after we process our emotions, which is the take action tool. Once you process your emotions at three, you say, what's my number? Am I 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? You use the emotional brain training tool for that number. You get back to 1. That's not good enough. And that's why mindfulness falls short. What we need is to move forward with our energy, get that dopamine going to be of higher purpose. If we're not at higher purpose, you're going to be addicted to something. We are going to be stressed and we're going to be unhappy. So the take action tool that comes every time you use EBT, you go through the app and you use it, you always receive a message. Okay, what do you expect of yourself? And I'm going to give you the 4 steps of the take action tool, and that might answer what you're really talking about here. You say, I expect myself to do the best I can. Now, why would that be important? Because we're not attached to our behavior. We can't always control our behavior. And our power doesn't come from our behavior. It comes from our connection to the spiritual, connection to the deepest part of ourselves. So I'm saying, I expect myself to do the best I can for who I am in this moment, too. And then you say what you're going to do. Like that shepherd might say, that farmer might say, I expect myself to take care of my sheep. Okay. The moment you make a commitment, your brain shuts down. And so with EBT, the second thing you do is say something positive and powerful to yourself, like, I can do that. And that takes away the stress. And then you can actually see yourself taking care of those sheep. But if you are doing your job, which is to challenge yourself, there will be an essential pain. There will be a hard part that you have to face. What do you think that farmer would have to face in order to go forward with joy and take care of his sheep? That it takes work, that it's not always easy, that he's not in complete control, that he has to receive the goodness of life, that he's not perfect. What would be the hard part of life it's called the essential pain that he would have to face in order to move forward with purpose? What would you imagine, Matt?
That he's not married. And
that I'm alone.
He's alone, and he seemed to be in his 50s, or you know, in mid 50s, and didn't have anyone to share his life with. And I could feel a deep pain in him. And I tried to say a few things. He's overlooking the Atlantic Ocean. His farm was overlooking the Atlantic Ocean. I said, man, people in the United States would pay $10 million to have this view, and you get to have this view every day. And he said, oh yeah, it's nice. But I think his biggest challenge is that he's doing this really hard work by himself.
Okay, so he would face the essential pain. This is one of the 7 essential pains of life. I am alone. And he'd have to feel it in his body. And the reason it's essential, it's just essential pain of life, not self-abuse, is because once you can feel the downside, what happens in your brain is it opens up to purpose. You say, yeah, I am alone, but it's worth facing that reality because the earned reward, the higher order reward of me going forward in joy is, and for him, it could be sanctuary, peace and power from within, or authenticity, feeling whole and being genuine, or vibrancy, healthy with the zest for life, or integrity, doing the right thing, or intimacy, finding love, or spirituality or freedom. But what happens in the brain when you process the stress quickly, like you do with EBT, is you get back to purpose. Once in your brain, you have that idea, like for him, let's say it's intimacy. There's something called the septal region in your brain, that if the brain's in connection and you think a magnificent thought of higher order purpose, it actually goes to that center and it shuttles that thought down to the emotional brain where the reward centers are. And you get this burst of positive chemicals. He could work all day and all night and be in joy with his sheep if he had EBT and he got back to 1, because you always come back to purpose. And then you feel this tingle in your body. You say, oh, this glow, what happened? This is the new medicine. I've just given myself these healthy chemicals, and it's free and it's not even a prescription. And you can have as many joy points as you want throughout the day to feel great.
I love it. And I didn't know all the science behind it, but of course this is what we do here at the Good Mood Revolution podcast, is is work on feeling good. And we don't ignore the negative emotions because we're alive and we're going to have these negative emotions. Our goal is just to not stay in them. So let's work on a couple of the tools. What are some practical things the person listening can do to get out of a lower number and get back to number one?
Great. Well, let's start with the number five, what your father should have done, okay? So at number five, that's called damage control tool. And when you're at five, your brain is absolutely split and you will have extremes. And most difficult for children is a disorganized environment where it's going back and forth with extremes because the child's brain gets all going back and forth. But all of us go to five and essentially don't judge it when you feel terrible. Because if in that moment, whether it's prayer or meditation or EBT that you use, if you stay connected to your emotions in your body, you actually rewire some of the circuits of trauma. But the damage control tool is this. You say, essentially, it's three statements you make to yourself that is the opposite of what your body chemistry in stress does. Your body chemistry says, judge yourself, do whatever you want to do, even if it's harmful, because there's no tomorrow. And lastly, this will never pass. It is over with. It is totally over with. So the damage control.
I've resonated with all of those statements.
Yeah.
And sometimes, when I feel really destructive, I'll pull into the donut shop and just want to eat like five donuts because I just am feeling super destructive. I had problems with drugs and alcohol in my 20s when I thought that was going to be the path and I would just do destructive things. It's probably when I was in five, for sure. So what are the damage control statements so that we don't go destructive and eat a dozen donuts or go to the bar and black out with our drinking and then say things we shouldn't have said, but it's almost like we're asking for punishment at that point.
Exactly. Well, what you do is you just counter what the brain says, but for your listeners, I want them to choose a way to do it because it's how you do it too. The words are, do not judge. That's the number one rule of spirituality anyway. And then I'm not going to judge myself or I'm not going to judge others. Minimize the harm. This is called reality testing. It's kind of like, it's not sugar water, it's lemonade. There's going to be some damage here. There's going to be some damage, but I'm going to minimize the harm. And then lastly, even though my brain is telling me that all is lost, I will never be the same. This is a horrible word that, the roof is caving in. This is just a brain state five. Everyone goes to brain state five. And sooner or later, it will pass. So the words are, do not judge, minimize harm, know it will pass. But if you're thinking about how you want to use it, because you use it about five times before it calms down the stress response, whether you really want to say, do not judge, minimize harm, know it will pass. Do not judge, minimize harm, know it. And other times, the most loving voice in the world, do not judge. I will not judge myself or others. I'm going to minimize the harm here. I'm going to have one donut, not five. And even though my body is telling me that all is lost, truly somewhere inside of me, I know that sometime this will pass. So in a very loving way, but those words are very magical. And that's one really basic skill. And also, please know right now that if we have a society that is trying to like eat, drink, spend, or whatever to stay in a fake one or two, you are really in trouble. Because you want to be able to be triggered down to five and then use EBT to clear out that clutter in the bottom of your brain so you're not sitting on it for the rest of your life. So I want you to reframe five as essentially a moment of opportunity to change the wiring in your brain so you don't have to live on edge for the rest of your life. So stress is the new joy if you use EBT.
This reminds me of Michael Singer's work. And Michael Singer would describe this getting into five as bumping into a samskara. And he said, every time you bump into the samskara, or Eckhart Tolle would say the pain body would take you over. He said, if you can fully process the emotions at that moment, you pull out the garbage that was in you in the first place and it's gone forever. And you've now taken a piece of the pain that you've been carrying in your body. And you've released it and it never comes back once you release it. So he said, your job is to, when you bump into this samskara, when you get into state five, your job is to not just run from it or do drugs or drink alcohol or eat a bunch of donuts and pretend it's not happening. He said, your job is to process it, because you then have cleared yourself a little bit more, and it's going to be easier for you to stay in joy from that point forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you know, one thing that is also counterintuitive, one is stress is the new joy, and that you need to go there. I feel sorry for, you know, having been in the faculty for 40 some years, so many professors and so many physicians there, they have a really good life. They have money and they have prestige, and they spend it on trying to stay at a brain state two or three, and sometimes ignore the emotional clutter. And what happens is they go in and see their patients and they don't feel authentic. And that's a price that they pay and a price that their patients pay, because you can feel authenticity. I mean, it is what everyone needs, and you can't be authentic if you're down there at three, four, or five. But one of the fun things, besides that stress is a moment of opportunity to transform, there's another one that people who are new to emotional brain training, they say, "What, Laurel, what are you saying?" I said, "If it's not fun, it's not EBT. So let me tell you why EBT is so much fun." Okay, so I've told you that essentially when you're at four or three, you're going to express a little bit of anger, sadness, fear, and guilt. And what it does in about a minute and a half or so, it takes you down to the bottom of your emotional brain where the circuits are, and these are unconscious circuits. You don't even know they're there. In order to, like, for example, people have used CBT for a long time. That's no longer the state of the art of psychology. EBT is. And the reason for that is cognitive thought, what you think is going on inside of your unconscious mind, is not what's going on inside your conscious mind. You have to read your unconscious mind, and you have to have feelings to read that mind. So when you're using EBT,
just for the person listening, because you've used EBT and CBT, I just want to clarify that what Dr. Laurel is saying is that cognitive is the C. Cognitive brain training would be just think happy thoughts. I'll just change my thoughts and that will heal me. And we now know that not to be true, that it's actually the emotions are deeper than the thoughts. We actually have to clear the emotional state of being in order to get back to joy.
What EBT does is give us an opportunity to have our unconscious mind open like a flower and tell us the precise, unreasonable message in that brain. So through neuroplasticity, you confront it with the absolute opposite message. And when you do that, what happens is it weakens and then it disappears. And you don't want the donuts anymore.
So Dr. Laurel, we've got this app and it's very affordable. And there are people that have listened to this show that are saying, "I'm in. I don't want to be in brain state four, three, or even two. I want to be in joy." And you've got an app. It's extremely affordable and it can get the whole world back to joy. It's going to save us thousands of dollars on medical bills and thousands of dollars on psychologists and therapists. And we're just going to feel good. So how could people get this app and help themselves get more joyful?
To be completely clear, it's more than an app. It's a complete program, but the app is the center of it, because you need to be able to get to joy anytime, anywhere. So you come to EBT. It's like food stamps, EBT, except it's emotionalbraintraining.org. And you pay $1 and you come on for the first month. After that, it's $39. Every day, there are live people there who are health professionals where you drop in and you could be told, your hand can be held. What questions do you have? You want to see how it works? Let me take you through it. Because it's the emotional brain, because it's emotions, not thoughts, people need to help other people. You need to be with other people to do this. In order to get down to the bottom of your brain in the fifth drawer, someone listening to you kindly, which is our program is based on people listen to each other for 5 minutes. And they listen to each other in 5 minutes, you can get from stress to joy. But when you do it with someone not interrupting you, not giving you advice, just listening to you over the phone, over the miles, what happens is you go deeper into your brain and you come out with not only joy, but intimacy, So you feel seen, heard, and felt, and the other person is enjoyed too. So you come there and then you download the app and then come and see me on Tuesday nights. I have a Zoom or Wednesday nights, but every single day drop in by telephone and just listen to other people doing it and have your questions answered. If you want to stay with it, after you get to joy, you learn how to rewire 4 circuits in your brain. Everyone has a habit circuit that gets them in trouble, a mood circuit, a relationship circuit, or typically a work circuit, or essentially they have 1 of 4 circuits in their brain. You actually rewire those using the same tools, but just, it's called precision EBT. It's a little bit deeper until they're gone. In other words, you don't try to change your habits. You change the circuit that drives the biochemicals to make you repeat that pattern. So when that circuit's gone, for example, I just wrote a book. It's on Amazon now. It's called 1-2-3 Joy, Natural Easy Weight Loss. So don't take those weight loss drugs. Do it with your own natural chemicals with EBT. But when the difference is when you rewire the circuit, you have freedom. You look at that food and it looks kind of revolting to you. Whereas just before, if you had that circuit there, you'd feel like you wanted to eat 5 of them. Same with relationship patterns. Relationships are very sensitive to stress. Everyone either, when they're stressed, merges and loses themselves in another person, or they distance. That's just stress response. It's kind of like your dad with his moods. All of us have patterns of either distancing or merging. That's just how the brain works. It's the common brain. So you rewire that capacity so you're more in intimacy. And then also there's typically a mood you get stuck in. The most common mood in America, other than anxiety, is numbness. And when you're numb, you can't be spiritually connected.
I think it's anxiety and numbness for sure. Those are 1 and 2. And you can see it on the look of everyone's face. Just go out in public. They either look anxious or numb. I just want to see all the people smiling who are joyful. And there's a few of them. And I'm like, oh, you get it. You get it. We get it. But most of us are just like numb or anxious. So I do want to change that. That's the whole reason for this podcast and for my book and for the work that you do. And this has just been such a lovely conversation with so much science and such great practical solutions. So if you're listening to this and you want to learn more, please check out the EBT.org. Go check out her books. And thank you so much for being here.
What a pleasure. Love working with you. Congratulations. More joy all around, huh?
Yes, more joy. All right. We'll see you guys next week.